Hello. Hi, church. Oh, let's turn that off. I was not expecting that, and you weren't the only one getting emotional during that, Gracie. Thank you guys for your extremely kind words. If you haven't met me before, you're new and you're joining, and you're like, what is going on? Today is Youth Sunday, and it's where our youth group, any month that there's a fifth Sunday in the month, gets to lead or at least help out with our service. So we've had kids. Maybe you were greeted by a student on the way in. Hopefully you all got a card. I'm going to use these at the end of our service, one of these cards that has some questions for you. If you don't, do you want to raise your hand, and we'll get you, and I have some kiddos that will grab you one. Does everyone have one of these? You're going to need it later. It's not for a pop quiz or anything, but okay. Hey, we got a Tanya Joy over there, and we got a couple people in the back. Bam. Just keep your hand raised, and they'll come grab you. A couple people in the far back as well. Awesome. Yeah, these will come in later. Awesome. So, again, this is a special day. Special because it's Youth Sunday. Special because we get to highlight some of our youth. Thank you, girls, for doing the dance for us and planning that. They have one more that we're going to close our service with at the end of today. Thank you for people doing the tech booth. We had some people step in and help, some adults help us as well. Thank you, Natalie and Craig. Thank you to Brian and Sam, our normal youth worship guy. Joe is out today, so we had Brian and Sam step up and lead us, help the girls lead worship. So thank you to everyone who's just made this day possible. Thank you, guys. Yeah. As this is my last Youth Sunday with you guys, Pastor Len said I could share a message that was on my heart, share something to leave you guys with, because this might be the last time they give me the mic. I'm not sure, at least in this capacity. Maybe I'll still get to do announcements, because that's also my favorite. So as I was reflecting on what God's been teaching me and how I've been growing in the last couple months, I've just been in a season of gratitude. I've been reflecting on my blessings, the many, many blessings in my life. And we chose a song, Counting My Blessings, to those photos, because that song encapsulates really my last 5 years with you guys. How many times I've been blessed through this church. How many times I've been blessed by God. How many times have I been blessed through these kids that not only do I get to make a small impact in their life, but they've impacted me immensely. And so I've just felt grateful and blessed. And so I want to just speak today a little on gratitude. I've titled this Gratitude, A Way to Reflect God's Grace. So this morning we're going to cover a few things. We're going to go over how to have gratitude for God, how to have gratitude for others, and how to have gratitude for grace. When I was 12 years old, I was asked to do a project for my neighbors, and it was a gardening project. So I think it's kind of fitting because this morning's opening song that our girls beautifully did created motions for is called Garden in Manhattan. So if you were here last week, Dave Pressgrove name dropped a little bit, an artist that apparently not a lot of you know, Josiah Queen. And we were supposed to see him at Night Vision 2 weeks ago, but he was there, but then it got hailed out and the show got canceled, and so kind of a bummer. But our group made the most of it. So this morning, that song, Dave's not even here for me to give him a hard time, but that song was a Josiah Queen song. So now all of you guys are now fans, just like our youth group girls, of Josiah Queen, okay? So So go home, look him up, Josiah Queen. He's your new favorite Christian artist. Yep. Right? Yeah. Yes. So they got to pick that song this morning. So I had to take care of this garden. And I had, I was supposed to do it for my neighbor, and she's an elderly lady, and she wasn't able to take care of her yard work anymore. So my parents asked me if I would do this for her, to be generous, and I said yes. They gave me a deadline. I had 2 days to do it. It was a big garden. Okay, this wasn't just a little box. I don't want you to think I'm that slow. I mean, a little bit, but she had a big roses and big garden with all kinds of bushes and things in her backyard. So I had 2 days to get it done. And I was like, okay, I got lots of time. So first day I showed up, not early in the morning. I should have gone out when it was cold, but I went out maybe 10 or 11. And started for a few hours, and then it got hot, then I got hungry. And so then I stopped for the day, called it good, put in a couple hours, got a few weeds. I trimmed a few bushes. I thought next day, tomorrow, I'll do all of it. I'll do all the rest. And so the next day I show up, and maybe a little bit earlier in the morning, I put in an hour or two, then I get tired and hungry, so I go home, and then I take a nap. If you know me, that's a big surprise. I fall asleep, I wake up, and it's like 3 o'clock, and my parents said I had till that night to get it done. That I was, because they told the lady I was going to get it done, and I was supposed to follow through on my word. I had 2 days to get this project done, and I waited until pretty much the very end. We had plans that night at 5 o'clock to have a family movie night with pizza and a movie, and my dad was off work, and so we were all going to hang out together. And that was at 5. And my mom said, you got to get that project done by 5 o'clock, otherwise you can't watch the movie. You can't be a part of tonight's activities because you got to get it done. And so at 3 o'clock, I'm like, oh, I got too much. There's too much work to be done. There's no way I'm going to finish. And I was right. I did not finish. I went and I tried and I tried. And at 5 o'clock came around and I realized there's no way I'm going to get this whole garden weeded and finished and raked and everything done. So I stayed until 5:15. I walk home kind of just sluggishly with my tools and stuff. And I told my mom, I said, I did not get it done. But I really want to watch the movie tonight. I really want to hang out with you guys tonight. And she looked at me and said, Andrew, you don't deserve to be a part of tonight because you didn't follow through on what you were supposed to. But I love you, and I'm going to show you grace. So I will let you join us tonight. If you get it done tomorrow. And 10 years later, I still remember that story. I still remember that because my mom showed me grace for something that I didn't deserve. I was supposed to get it done, and I didn't, and I messed up. It was on me, my actions. And yet in her kindness and in her love for me, she showed me grace, which says, you don't deserve things, but I will show you my love for you in this, and sacrifice for you and allow you something that on your own you don't deserve. I didn't deserve the hangout that night. I didn't deserve it. But my mom showed me what grace is, and she did that for me. I think of that story, and I think how clearly of a connection that is for what God, through Jesus, has done for us. He has shown us grace through sending his son to pay a price that we could never pay because we don't deserve it on our own. We ran out of time. We ran out of time to do enough good things. We ran out of time to earn it because we can't earn our faith. that story stuck with me, and it has continued to stick with me. And I think that's just a great visual example of God's grace for us. So I wanted to start with that visual. My main aim for this message, I want us to walk away knowing when we fully experience God's love for us and remember the grace poured out on the cross for us, gratitude towards God should be our natural response. Knowing what God has done for us should elicit a grateful heart, a grateful attitude, a grateful mindset. So I was thinking of this word, grace and gratitude, and so I decided to use our friend, technology, and it gave me a pretty good definition. So this is the definition according to AI, okay? Sometimes they give us good stuff. So gratitude and grace, while related, have distinct meanings. Gratitude is a feeling of thankfulness and appreciation for what one has or receives. We're grateful for what we have. But grace, on the other hand, often refers to unmerited favor or kindness or mercy, particularly from a divine source. In essence, gratitude is a response to blessings, while grace is the source of those blessings. Grace is the source. Gratitude is the response. Grace is the source. Gratitude should be our response. So firstly, gratitude for God. What has God done in our life? For us, I think we should thank Him for what He's done, being reflective, thanking Him for what He's going to do, and thanking Him for who He is. Colossians 3, verse 16, says this: let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Giving thanks to our Father. When I think of all the things God has done in my life over the past 5 years, really, I can't count them all up. That song is so true. And if you joined us at the Summer Supper, Sarah and I just got to share a few moments and memories of ways that we've been blessed by this church, by this town. And it was really good for me to remember all of those things. When the slideshow came on, I was hit with emotion because all the memories rushed through my brain of all the things that I've been able to experience, all the things that God has done for me here in Craig. I wonder if we don't think back enough and reflect enough on all the blessings we've received throughout our life, throughout our days, our weeks, our months. Reflecting back and thanking Him for what He's done, I think, is a great way to help our heart focus on God and show Him gratitude. And remember, gratitude is a feeling of thankfulness and appreciation for what one has or receives. I am grateful for what I've received, knowing that it's come from God. So I'm going to tell Him that. I'm going to thank Him. I'm going to praise Him. And that's what we do with worship. When we come here, we sing songs of praise to God. We lift our voices to God, and we ask that it be pleasing and pleasant to Him, because we want to thank Him and honor Him for what He's done in our life. thanking Him for what He's going to do. Scripture says that God has laid out our path for us in advance. He's prepared good things in advance for us to do. So I'm thanking God for the season I've had, and I'm already thanking God for the season to come. And I think we should do that in our Christian walk. All of us are in different seasons currently. We're in summer right now, a nice season for a lot of us, more time off. Depending on your job, time with your kids could be a blessing. You might need prayer. But we're in a season right now, and I wonder if you guys know you're going into a new season too, what life looks like in the fall for you guys. I'm already thanking God for what is to come because I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to bless me. I know I'm going to be able to serve Him through it. I know He's got me. So I can thank Him in advance for what He's going to do. And then thanking Him for who He is. We can create gratitude in our heart if we remember who God is. He's our rock. He's our provider. What are some other things? Let's do some audience participation. What are some other things that God is in your life? Let me hear it. Good shepherd. Counselor. Provider. Physician. Way maker. Awesome. Those are all things that God is. So we can thank Him for being those things. And I know we don't always feel like God is those things in every season, but I think remembering that and just declaring it and saying it out loud allows us to focus on Him, even if we don't believe it in that moment because we're struggling, because we're human. This season has been great, but this summer has been, I'll admit, a little stressful. I'm getting married, I'm moving, starting a new job. I'm a little stressed. I have to say all these goodbyes, and it's like drawn out over the whole summer. But I'm still thanking God, and I'm still looking forward to what is ahead. I'm remembering who He is, what He's done for me, and that I can thank Him no matter what. Okay, gratitude for others. Realizing who He's brought us. Realizing where He's brought us. Realizing what He's going to do through us. I'm going to read from Proverbs 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. I looked through some of those photos that were shown today. I put up mostly youth group kids, but I also put up some people that have meant something to me in my time in Craig. I have some of my pickleball friends. Dave Myers is here this morning. He was up there. Got connected with him a couple years ago and just had a beautiful friendship through it. Tammy's not here today. She was up there. Beautiful friendship with Tammy. So many people I am thankful for because God has brought them to me. Len has talked about this before, but having a group, and really I think he talked about it in his last series, 3, having people that you're close to, that you're surrounded with, having people you're walking daily with, having people that, you know, brothers or sisters that you can go to for help, advice, counsel when you're in crises. You need to surround yourself with godly people and have that inner circle, just like Jesus did with the disciples, with the 12 and then the 3. So realizing who He's brought into your life, think about who you have in your life right now that you can be thankful for, that you can be grateful for. Some of us, it's easier to make friends. Some of us, we're a bit more selective, and it's harder. It takes longer to build relationships. My struggle is that I feel like everyone's my friend. I make friends easy at City Market, at the store, everywhere. So I think the hardest thing has been like trying to figure out if I could invite everyone in town to our wedding, I would. But Sarah said no. So that wasn't on me, okay? So if you don't get an invite, please don't be hurt. It's just Sarah. Sarah. Okay. This is my last time speaking up here, so you're okay, Sarah. Realizing where he's brought us. I never thought I'd end up in Craig, Colorado. If you guys know my story, I did missions in England for 2 years. I was a missionary over there with the organization PAYS, and then ultimately ended up moving here during COVID and some crazy connections. Ended up becoming a part of PAYS here at The Journey. So I'm grateful for this place. Another way I can show my gratitude to God is being grateful for where I've been and where we have been. Some of you are locals, some of you are transplants, some of you are just visiting today from out of town. Being grateful for the place we are helps us show gratitude to God, giving him thanks for where he's brought us. I am grateful for this town, for the people in this town. I am grateful for Craig. And just because I'm leaving doesn't mean I don't love Craig. I still love Craig. So I'm grateful for where he has brought me. And thirdly, realizing where he's going, what he's going to do through us. We all get to play a role as the body of Christ, as believers. We all play a role. I've said this before up here, but one thing I love about The Journey, and I've been impressed with since I've become a part of the fellowship, has been how you guys serve, how people get plugged in, how people see needs and fill needs. You guys all serve in different ways. And so that's God working through you to bless people in our community, in our church. We have a lot of people who serve in the church, and then we have a lot of people who serve in nonprofits in different capacities in the workplace, and they are bright lights for Jesus. They shine his light and goodness into dark places in our town. So keep it up. Let me just encourage you that as someone who's moved here, I've seen our church do that. I know a lot of you guys live that way, treat people that way, shine your light wherever you are in your workplace throughout your day. So we just went over, 2 sermon series ago, what does a healthy church look like? In my opinion, the journey has met that quota of being a healthy church, of going out and sharing Jesus' light. And he's not going to stop using you guys, using you in your roles. So continue being obedient and faithful to God. Oh, I got another verse. Ecclesiastes 4:9. With this idea of being grateful for others and having people in our life. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. I am very grateful because since I've been here, God has brought me my second person. I am grateful for a partner to do life with. I'm grateful to have a spouse here in a few months. No, 47 days. Sarah made a website, so it's tracking down. So not all of us are married in the room, but we all have people. But for those of you who are, I hope you're grateful for your spouse. I hope you thank God for your spouse. We've been doing some premarital counseling, and I've learned a lot about just how I'm going to have to die to myself every day and serve and love and do things for Sarah and show her God's love through my actions and vice versa. We're going to do that for each other, and I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to experience God's love for me through marriage. and to be able to serve someone in that capacity. So if you have a spouse, love your spouse, cherish your spouse, pray for your spouse, and pray for me, and us, not me. More pray for Sarah, actually, but sorry. Because we're just starting this adventure. I know very little. I'm just starting this adventure, but we will take your prayers. We'd gladly accept your prayers. Man, I'm doing great. Sorry, Sarah. All right. And then gratitude for grace. This is kind of our third point today. Understanding what he's done for us, understanding why he died for us, and understanding our shortcomings. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 12, says this. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Yeah, that's the verse I wanted, right? I don't have it on there. No, you're good. Awesome. I'm going to read it again. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Yeah. I'm escaping my thought that I had with this verse, but it is good. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not for yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Understanding what he's done for us. Our salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone, through what he did on the cross for us at Calvary. Remembering that there's no amount of good works that we can do, no amount of, I'll just try harder. I think for me, in my Christian walk growing up, I thought that that's what I needed to do as a kid, just be good and be nice to my brother and sister and not lie to my parents, which I did because I said I could get that job done, and I didn't, and I was lazy. And I thought that that's what being a good person was, and I thought that's maybe how I got saved, was just being good. I now realize that it's through grace, through faith, that we're saved. And we preach that here at The Journey, that's the key, to know that your salvation comes through knowing Jesus, asking him into your heart, and allowing him to transform you and change you, and that in and of itself saves us. Grace through faith. Understanding why he died for us. Again, there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. And when that really hit me, I think I was 18. I went to Bible school, and that was a moment that I've shared before that really transformed my life. Knowing that he died for me changed everything. That someone cared enough about me, knows me, that would die for me, and I didn't have to do anything for it besides believe in him. That's wild. That still gets me. That still makes me grateful to God for what he's done for me. Because I can walk in the fullness and newness of life. We can all walk in the fullness and newness of life when we accept that. And my heart is that all of us here have. But Len, as Len always says, if you haven't made that commitment yet, if you haven't asked God to come into your life and become your personal Savior and Lord, you can do that today. Come find me or one of the elders afterwards, and you can do that today. You can ask God into your life today. Don't wait if you haven't. If you're ready to do that today, we'd love to come talk. We'd love to talk to you. And finally, understanding our shortcomings. I have become increasingly aware of things that I can and can't do. I think, again, this is not, I've already put Sarah through enough, but in a relationship, there's things that I'm capable of and things that I'm just not capable of. And I think I've learned a lot that it's okay, and I don't have to be perfect, and that's why God has given us grace. That's why God shows us His grace. When we beat ourselves up, I have a tendency to beat myself up when I can't do something right or when I feel like I'm not good enough at something. I beat myself up, and I don't think God wants us to beat ourselves up. I think He wants us to ask Him for help and realize that He's showing us grace. And as believers, we should show one another grace. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, is show each other grace. But because we've been shown it, we can give it. We should be people that show grace to one another because we've received it first. Right? Thanks. I heard an amen. Yeah. Awesome. As I come to a close, two things. One, you have these papers, which in a moment I'm going to have you write on. But before that, I brought a little prayer journal with me, because since I've been in Craig, I've kept a small journal. I don't write in it often, but I have over my years here. And I just wanted to read a few things from it, because as I've been reflecting on my time and hit with this sense of gratitude for God, for others, and for grace, I looked through these entries, and it hits me. It gets me. So on March 28th, in 2023, a couple years after I moved here, I wrote a few things down. In this journal, there's a column for Thanksgiving and prayer requests, and then a reflection, and then a daily prayer. I encourage you, if you don't have a rhythm of reflecting with God, a quiet time where you thank Him for things, where you ask Him for things, where you reflect on who He is, then do that. And write them down. Because I once heard a sermon from my pastor back home who said, I just keep a journal of all the things I'm thankful for, and then at the end of the year, I read them. And I'm like, wow, that's a great idea. If I wrote something down I was grateful for every time it happened, or something God did, or a way He answered a prayer every time it happened, I would have a full journal. Because He does a lot of things for me. And I know He does a lot of things for you guys. So, on March 28th in 2023, I was thankful for having a full PAYS team. And this morning, Miss Deborah Coimbra has joined us this morning. And that's the Thanksgiving I was giving thanks for, was when Deborah came and joined our team a couple years ago. How good is God? Good to see you, Deborah. I put for a full team, I put for Deborah. A couple entries prior, I was praying for a full team, a full PAYS team, because we needed some more missionaries. It's amazing when you pray for something, if you track it down, a prayer request can then become a praise report. I was thankful for Pastor Len and Gary. Oh, did I write that right? No. They must have been really helping me at the time. I was thankful for, on PAYS, we got to go to retreats, PAYS retreats, and so we had a time of refreshment. I was thankful for my parents' visit, my mom and dad. Some of you have gotten to know them over the years. They came. I was thankful for that. I was and I am thankful for Tammy and Ed and their friendship to me. And I was thankful for my pickleball family. Yeah, thankful for pickleball in general. So, yeah. My prayer request. At the time, I was praying for a vision for our team. what we were going to do in Craig, the goals we had for Craig. I was praying for discernment and wisdom. At the time, I was praying for finances and housing. That summer, I had to trust God with my housing for a little while, and He totally came through. My host, Phil. I'm grateful for Phil. He housed me that year. Thank you, Phil. I was praying for summer plans. I was praying for the month of June for all of our youth activities. And I was praying for saying goodbye to our PACE team that left. My reflections, I wrote, the past few weeks have been a time of enjoyment and rest, culminating at Fresh, which was the PACE retreat. I have experienced true joy from the Lord. I am really trying to find contentment in all situations because I can look to the Lord. I am continually grateful for what the Lord has done for me time and time again. Amen. And then at the end, there's a daily prayer, and I wrote, Lord, thank you for being a good God that never changes, even when I do. Thank you for the ways you move and work in my own life. You are gracious, faithful, generous, kind. Help me to continue to follow after your heart and your kingdom here on earth. Amen. Amen. I could flip through and read you many, many more entries, but I won't. Keep track of what God does for you. Write it down and reflect on it. It will allow you to create a gratitude for God, for others, and for the grace that we've received. I'm going to have our girls come up again and close us out in a song. I would love all of us to stand. They have some motions, but just sing along to the song as we close. Thank you.